This tape is a production of All Roads Ministry. Your speaker is Vin Lewis, founder and president of All Roads Ministry. This particular tape is a live recording of my appearance on the Pat Campbell radio program, which is broadcast out of Erie, Pennsylvania. And the program is known as The Right Way. It is a call-in show, a discussion show, and perhaps you should be aware that this is not a religious station that Pat Campbell broadcasts from, but a secular commercial radio station. This particular conversation or program took place on Thanksgiving Day, 1995, and I was the major guest, and of course, I was asked to field questions from people calling in and answer questions from Pat. Outside of a little editing, mainly the reduction of, or the elimination of commercials, public service announcements, etc., the program is live and you will hear it as it was recorded. I eliminated in the beginning of the program a few extraneous remarks that Pat had to make about some local people in his area. He was giving some praise to some religious groups for following through on feeding the hungry on Thanksgiving Day. But as that does not deal with me, I decided I didn't want it on my tape. With that in mind, let's go to the tape. Hope you enjoy it. Hope you learn from it. And hope you hear from me again as well as I hear from you. Thanks for listening.
With Pat Campbell.
Good afternoon, Erie, Pennsylvania. Welcome back to Erie's Voice of Choice, Flagship 1330. As always, folks, thank you for joining us. This is a fabulous Thanksgiving Day edition of The Right Way, November 23rd, 1995. Delighted to have you on board as per usual. Got a very special program lined up for you today. Special guest that is going to be joining us for the majority of the program, and in addition to being Thanksgiving, we're all observing Thanksgiving, celebrating Thanksgiving. We here at Flagship 1330 are also observing our second anniversary. It was 2 years ago today that we switched the dial positions from our former 1530. We changed positions with our sister station, WEYZ 1330, Music of Your Life, and we went from being 1,000 watts to 5,000 watts, the most powerful AM station in northwestern Pennsylvania. Proud to say, broadcasting to four counties, three states, and two countries. A special Thanksgiving hello to our friends on the other side of the lake there. With that said, ladies and gentlemen, in observance of the Thanksgiving holiday, in observance of our second anniversary here at Flagship 1330, I had to do something very special. No ordinary guest would do on this Thanksgiving Day. So I am bringing back to you, at popular request, the most controversial guest that I've ever had on this program, a man who always sparks conversation, sparks criticism, you name it, he sparks it. Mr. Vin Lewis, he hails from Hopewell, New York. He is a former New York State Trooper, a devout Orthodox, traditional, Roman Catholic. And I've sort of billed him here at Flagship 1330 as the ultimate Catholic. He claims that he can defend any Catholic teaching, doctrine, dogma, etc., from a biblical perspective. Not only that, he'll do it from the Protestant version of the Bible, that being the King James Version. For those of you who don't know, there is a difference between the Catholic version and the Protestant version of the Bible. Perhaps, if time permits, we'll allow Vin to tell you about that. He claims he can defend any Catholic position from a biblical perspective. Not only that, but he further makes the claim that if anyone out there can trip him up, he'll immediately abandon his faith right there on the spot and assume the faith of whoever trips him up, whether it be a Baptist, a Presbyterian, a Methodist, an Episcopalian, a Buddhist, or perhaps a Muslim. With that said, Vin, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on, Pat. I give you thanks, and I'd like to wish you, your family, and all your listeners a pleasant holiday.
Vin, could you fill our listeners in on your background and your ministry ARM Ministry, All Roads Ministry?
Briefly, All Roads Ministry, which is what I head and occupies most of my time, is an organization which is designed to educate and motivate Catholics to be able to defend, explain, and spread the faith by means of right reason in the Bible. We also hope, of course, that it acts as an instrument for non-Catholics to come into the Church, into the Church of Rome, and become members of the one true flock of our Lord. So primarily what we try to do is to show people where information is in the Bible, how to use it, how to present it, and how to refute objections.
With that said, this would be an ideal opportunity for me to extend our customary disclaimer. The views being expressed on today's program are the views of Ben Lewis, and not necessarily the views of this station, station management, or necessarily the host of this program. And I'm sure I'll give that a couple more times throughout the program. Vin, I wanted to start today's conversation, Vin, bringing up something that you've said on previous programs that never fails to alienate about 60 to 70% of the listening audience in one fell swoop. You claim, you believe, that there is no salvation outside of the Catholic Church. In layman's terms, that would mean that people that don't belong to the Catholic Church, whether they be Baptist, Jewish, Buddhist, Muslim, etc., that they are doomed to hell. Would that be accurate to say?
Yes, but let me put it slightly different.
Right.
I always like to phrase it in a slightly different way.
Right.
There are only Catholics in heaven, and there's probably, I would bet on it, an awful lot of Catholics in hell. So although there is no salvation outside of the Catholic Church, there is, unfortunately, a great deal of damnation within it on its members.
All right, I want to give the listeners a little bit of background with the Church's teaching that there is no salvation outside of the Church. Prior to Vatican II, which was, I guess we could best describe it as a council that made a lot of reforms back in the early 1960s. It was a gathering of Catholic Church leaders, cardinals, bishops, etc. They got together and made a lot of changes in the Church. For example, prior to Vatican II, the liturgy, the Mass, was in Latin, and it is no longer that way. It is in the native tongue in whichever country you're in. Here in the United States, that of course, for the most part, means English. I realize there's some exceptions to that, like Spanish, etc. Prior to Vatican II, Catholics were taught, and Catholics believed, that you had to be a Catholic in order to get to heaven. You had to be baptized a Roman Catholic, otherwise you were doomed to hell. Now, since Vatican II, that has not been widely taught, and rather than perpetuate the us-against-them mentality that existed prior to Vatican II, Catholics have strived to move towards ecumenism, an ecumenical movement. In other words, bringing all Christians together on the things that we believe in. For example, although our Presbyterian, our Methodist, our Baptist brothers and sisters may not believe in the sacraments, in particular the Holy Eucharist, they may not believe that that is the actual body and blood of Christ, we do have some common beliefs. We both believe that Jesus Christ is our Savior. So there's been a movement within the Catholic Church for the last 30-some-odd years to bring us together on common ground. Now, Ben, for the sake of our listening audience, I want to let them know I'm 35 years old. I was never taught that there is no salvation outside of the Catholic Church. In fact, if I, for one fleeting moment, thought that, I wouldn't even be on the radio today because I have in-laws, I have friends who are not Roman Catholic. They're Christians, and rather than waste my time on the radio, I'd be spending every waking hour trying to convert them, trying to save their souls. Now, I consulted a Catholic priest here locally, a theologian, a conservative Catholic priest, who teaches at a local college, and I asked him point blank. I said, what about this, that there's no salvation outside of the Catholic Church? He goes, that's right. And that startled me, because that's the first time I ever heard it from a Catholic priest. He said, but you've got to understand what that means. He said, it doesn't mean that you just have to belong to the Catholic Church. He said, the Church is Christ here on earth. And he said that there is no salvation without the grace, or there is no salvation unless it's through the grace of Jesus Christ. And he said that to say that you have to be Catholic in order to get to heaven is being disingenuous, and it's distorting that concept of no salvation outside of the church. Your response?
Well, a whole bunch of things. First of all, Pat, let me make a comment about Vatican II. Not that I like to defend it, but Vatican II did not do away with Latin in the liturgy. As a matter of fact, Vatican II said Latin should be preserved.
Mm-hmm.
All of the things you mentioned actually came about what is called internally the spirit of Vatican II. In other words, a whole bunch of, quote, reformers, unquote, within the Catholic Church, or apparently within the Catholic Church, used some ambiguous phrasing in Vatican II to distort and to misapply the positions of Vatican II. And I also will point out that Vatican II teaches there is no salvation outside the Church in one of its few dogmatic statements. Are we there, Pat?
Yes, we're still here.
I'm sorry, I had a little interference on this.
We're still here.
Okay. The second thing is, though, let me make another comment and direct it sort of personally. You said if you really believe that, you'd be converting your relatives all the time. Well, the point is, Pat, you really believe there's a chance of yourself going to hell, don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
But here you are on a radio show, not praying, not trying to get closer to God. Instead, you're doing the things that we all do to keep body and soul together. So the point is, your own salvation is more important to you than the salvation of your relatives, but you don't spend 24 hours a day on your own salvation. None of us do.
Right.
So the fact is, I fully believe exactly what you say. I have friends and relatives who are not Catholic. I make an attempt at it every now and then. But the rest of the time, just like a normal human being, I go along with recreational things, sometimes devotional things, sometimes just entertainment, etc. I relax, I eat, I drive cars, I walk the dog. So the point is, what I'm talking about is appearances and reality here. The fact that we accept the truth does not mean, because of our fallen nature, unfortunately, that we will reflect that truth in every action in our life.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we simply don't, okay? There are doctors who know the dangers of smoking who smoke. There are doctors who know the danger of a high-fat diet who eat high-fat diets. Knowledge does not lead into action, and that's a key point to understand about reality. But besides all of that, all right, the key thing, and I would say your priest was essentially correct, but the key thing that the priest may not understand or simply may not have brought up because you didn't ask the question was that the Presbyterian does not, I'll repeat this, does not believe in the same Christ we do. Absolutely not. Remember the first commandment of God, thou shalt not use the Lord's name in vain. You can use the Lord's name in vain. You can call a false historical figure, someone who never existed, someone who never was, by the name of Jesus. That does not mean that that is a Jesus who can save you. It's a false name. To use a very simple analogy, the liberal press has presented Bill Clinton in a way which is completely opposite of reality. This is not a caring man who cares about the downtrodden and has values and cares about these and wrestles with that and is intelligent and listens. No, Bill Clinton is a horrible person. Everybody who can do any research knows that. But the press presents someone entirely different. That's what public relations are for. They distort the reality so that the perception becomes a new reality.
Finn, could I pause on that note because I need to get a commercial break in. We'll be back with our discussion with Vin Lewis. Again, we encourage your phone calls today, too. It'll be open phone line for the entire program. If you'd like to ask Vin a question, if you think you can trip him up, I'd love to hear from you at 835-1330. Cellular One user star 1330 and fax is coming at 835-8395. Back with more after this.
The Right Way with Pat Campbell.
Welcome back, folks. Our guest today, Vin Lewis, joining us via phone from Connecticut, correct?
No, but near Connecticut, New York.
Okay, good enough. We're at least on the map, all right?
No, I told you, my plans changed, Pat. I was supposed to be in Connecticut, but the governor of the state forbade me to enter the state this time of day.
You're popular up there, too.
Yeah, they said that if I showed up, they would reinstitute the New England concept of hanging witches.
There you go. Now, prior to the commercial break, you were trying to explain to me and to the listeners out there that the Christ that the Presbyterians believe in and the Christ the Catholics believe in are not the same Christ. How can that be?
Well, again, simply to make the point clear, and then I'll illustrate it.
George Washington was a man who did an awful lot of things, several of them honorable, obviously tremendously historical. And one of the things about the earlier part of George Washington's life is he was very, very dedicated to his mother, not in any improper way. As a matter of fact, she talked him out of becoming a royal officer in the British Navy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the point is, if I said, well, I honor George Washington, but I honor the George Washington who hated his mother, who was actually on the British side but a secret agent and lost, who ran away from every single battle, who was a great socializer and had a full set of teeth till the day he died, well, then I'm calling something else by the name George Washington. And if I were a historian or a biographer, and if I put out a book such as this, fictions to the historical facts and the personality of George Washington, I would be a deceiver, and no one would take me seriously. However, somehow, because I guess of the, shall we say, the tolerance which is common in America, we Catholics have a tendency not to point out that only Catholics believe, adhere to, obey, and honor the historical Christ. And I'll give one simple example. The Presbyterian holds that the historical Christ was born of a woman who was a virgin, maybe, up until the time she gave birth, but after that had normal sexual relations with St. Joseph and had other children. Also, that her body is in the ground rotting and decaying and being gnawed on by rats and worms. The historical Christ, who actually existed and who founded the Church of Rome on Pope St. Peter, in fact was born of a perpetual virgin. In fact, made sure his mother's body would not be subjected to decay by having it assumed into heaven, and in fact is physically present on the altar during the holy sacrifice of the Mass if a validly ordained priest says the right words with the right intention.
Mm-hmm.
Now the point is, if the Presbyterian says, no, that isn't Christ, and I say, yes, it is, then we are simply calling two completely separate people, one the imagination of Protestant theologians, and the other, the historical reality, by the same name. They're using the name of the Lord in vain. That cannot save them, nor by any extension whatsoever can that be called a Christian. Now, there are some Buddhists and Hindus who hold that our Lord was actually a reincarnation of Krishna and Vishnu, and so was Buddha. So Buddha is Jesus, is Vishnu, is Krishna. Now, the point is, you could say, well, gee whiz, they're Christians too. No, they're not Christians, because they have destroyed one of the absolute central dogmas of Christianity, and that is the identity of the person, Christ, who is and always remains the second person of the Blessed Trinity, made incarnate and walked on earth for a certain period of time, and is physically present at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. So there's no way to say that we share in common something with the Presbyterians. This is like saying we share a lot in common with them because they both recognize that red light means stop and green light means go. Yeah, but when it comes to really central issues of theology, of reality, of the nature of God, the Catholic Church shares nothing with anyone, period.
Vin, let's pause on that note. I need to go to the flagship 1330 News Center. When we return, we'll take your calls in the order they're received at 835-1330 and continue this Thanksgiving Day discussion.
Flagship 1330 News, when you need it.
More rock and talk with Pat Campbell.
Welcome back, folks. Vin Lewis, home for the holidays. We're talking religion, specifically the Catholic Church, Catholic teachings. Encourage everybody to participate if you'd like to get involved. If you think you can stump Vin, God bless you, get involved. 835-1330, cellular one user, *1330, and fax is coming at 835-8395. Now, Vin, we're talking about your statement that there is no salvation outside of the Catholic Church. You claim that you can back up any Catholic teaching, doctrine, dogma, etc., from a biblical perspective. In fact, you'll go one step further. You'll do it from the King James Version of the Bible. Where, maybe I missed this during catechism classes, whatever, when did Christ say that you must be a Catholic in order to get to heaven?
Well, on numerous occasions, but I'll give two which I think are extremely clear.
All right.
There's a passage in St. Matthew in which our Lord says something like this. He who acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge before my Father and the angels. He who does not, I will not.
The Presbyterians acknowledge Jesus Christ.
No.
The Baptists
no,
do.
Not
the
at
Methodists
all.
Do.
Not at all. Understand, number one, acknowledge means, it's a very specific word. It means to admit the existence of. If I came in the room and I said, you know, Pat, you didn't even acknowledge I was here, that would mean a nod, a wink, a waving, might even be a greeting. But if you didn't acknowledge I was there, you would, in the true sense of the word, completely ignore me. Now, it doesn't mean to admit that someone did exist. After all, we all daily admit that George Washington and Abraham Lincoln did exist, but we don't acknowledge their presence before men. What this means is in a public act of bearing witness. As a matter of fact, the Presbyterian can't. The Methodist can't. But we can and do. We go down upon our knees when the priest says the proper words over what was a piece of bread and is now the body of Jesus himself. And we acknowledge that. Now, we have a chance of being acknowledged when we get in front of God the Father in Judgment Day. But those who do not have no chance whatsoever, because when they say, as it says in other passages, Lord, Lord, Jesus is going to say, out of my sight, evildoers, I don't know who you are. That's also...
So in other words, you're saying that anyone out there, a Christian who belongs to another denomination, unless you accept the total package, the whole kit and caboodle that the Catholic Church is teaching, that there is no salvation for you. When did Christ say that you've got to accept the total package? I mean, I think...
Sure.
Hold on a minute.
No problem.
I think that the Presbyterians, I think that the Methodists, I think that the Baptists, the Anglicans, the Episcopalians, I think they all acknowledge that Jesus Christ is, in fact, the second person of the Trinity, that in the Incarnation, that he became man, that he lived, suffered, died, and rose from the dead for our sins, and it's only through his grace that they can get into heaven.
You're completely wrong, Pat. They
right?
deny that Jesus is the second person of the Blessed Trinity incarnate because they deny the Trinity. There is no such thing as a Trinitarian outside of the Catholic Church, period, whatsoever.
They don't believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
No, they do not. None of them, zero, ever. Now, I'll back that up in a moment, but let me backtrack because I try to always sort of fulfill my moral contracts. You asked for a passage. I gave you one.
Right.
I'll give you a second one, but I'll give you a third quickly. Jesus said, you must be. He commanded us to be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, that either means nothing or it means there's something we can be perfect in. Now, if we can be perfect in our faith, if we can adhere and admit and bear witness and hold to every single truth that Jesus gave us. And remember, he promised us in the Gospel of St. John that the Holy Spirit would lead his followers into all truth. Then we can be perfect in that way. That was a command. That wasn't a suggestion. That wasn't an inclination. That wasn't a hyperbolic Semitic statement. That was a command. If you disobey a direct command from the second person of the Blessed Trinity, you go to hell. Because the Presbyterian and the Methodist will tell you that, number one, you can't be perfect, and number two, you can't know all these things, which is exactly related to the denial of the Trinity. They deny the role of the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, because Jesus clearly says that the Holy Spirit will lead you to all truth, it will remind the apostles of everything that was said, etc., etc., etc. That role means that the Holy Ghost will guide the Church of Christ infallibly forever. God cannot fail. Jesus promises the Paraclete. The Holy Spirit's job is to lead his followers into all truth. Talk to the Presbyterian, talk to the Methodist, talk to the Assembly of God, and they will tell you not only do they not know all truth, no one does. They have just denied the Trinity.
You know, I've got a lot of friends that are involved in evangelical churches, and I have heard them talk on many occasions about the Spirit, referring to the Holy Spirit, about Christ, the Son of God, and about God the Father. And if that isn't the Trinity, I don't know what is.
Pat, let's go back to it again. Appearances are not reality. There are men who, for various different reasons, are divorced. But yet they still go around and say they're legally married.
Mm-hmm.
There are men who have never been on a police department who say they're ex-policemen. You also know as well as I, Pat, that when you go to buy a used car, you keep both ears open and you try to register a third eye because you don't believe everything the guy says. Now, the point is this. Why would you now believe everything somebody says when they're mired in a system which specifically says that there's no penalty for lying? Understand this, Pat. Every single Protestant, without exception, says there is no penalty for lying. None, zero. Now tell me.
Hold on a minute. The wages of sin are death.
That's right, but they're all paid for in the cross. We'd awesome washing the blood of the Lamb, and there is no purgatory, so everybody's getting into the heaven no matter what you do. Right, Pat? Isn't that Protestantism? So there's no penalty for lying, is there, ever? So why? Now think about this. You're going to Honest Harry's used car dealer, and right underneath it says, by the way, we don't back up our words, we don't honor our contracts, and don't try to sue us because we're telling you now that not a single thing we said may be true, may not be true. You're too bad. It's like buying a car as is. Every single Protestant will tell you there's no penalty for lying. Now you'll say, oh no, Vanilla, we say you shouldn't lie. You've got to ask the right questions, Pat. You know, if you go to this used car dealer and he tells you this car was only used by a little old lady to go to church once a year, and you look and you don't look at the odometer and say, well, how come it says 170,000 miles on it?
It was a long way to...
She went to church a lot. No, you have to ask the right questions. You have to say, was this only owned by one person? Yes. Are you willing to put that in writing? No way. Oh, I see. Now it's a little different, isn't it? Okay? Pat, you must do the research that I did, and you must find out that these people don't ever believe what they say they believe. Listen, lying in this country is so epidemic that I find it odd, even if you're playing devil's advocate, that you would actually believe that people would tell the truth about religion. The Bible says all men are liars. And these people lie. We tend to lie about that which we're ashamed about. There is no one outside of the Catholic Church who is not ashamed of his beliefs. But let me give you one more passage.
Well, Vin, let's pause on this note because I do need to get a commercial break in. Callers online, we'll get back with your calls in the order they're received at 835-1330. Vin Lewis, home for the holidays.
Here is Rockin' Talkin' Robot, Pat Campbell.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to a Thanksgiving Day edition of The Right Way, and we've got a very special guest for you on this Thanksgiving Day. Coincidentally, also the second anniversary of Flagship 1330. It was 2 years ago this day that we switched dial positions from 1530 to 1330 and became the big boys of the AM talk block. Vin, let's hold on that other example you were going to give me. I want to get to the phones because...
Okay, but I still owe you a verse.
We'll get back to it. You'll have plenty of time. Caller, thanks for hanging on. You're on Flagship 1330.
Good afternoon, Pat.
You'll have to speak up, please.
Okay, I've heard a lot of Vin Lewis before. I haven't heard everything. Maybe he's touched on this, but just a two-part question. What about the Eastern Orthodox churches, and what about the Latin Mass people, the Archbishop Lefebvre people that have broken away?
Mm-hmm.
Are they condemned to perdition, or are they in the church, out of the church?
Great question.
Eastern church people are certainly not in the church. I had a talk with a priest who was a chaplain at an Eastern Orthodox college in the United States down in South Carolina. Didn't even know it existed. And right away we admitted that one of us wasn't Trinitarian because we disagree about the proper procession of the second and third person of the Trinity.
Right. That's,
so if
well,
they're
that's
denying,
really right.
if they are blaspheming on the very nature of God, we couldn't possibly be Christians because Christians do not encompass blasphemy and lies into their most central dogma.
Let me
I've
ask
never
you
heard
a
question. That called blasphemy yeah. by any Christian scholar all the way back.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I've never heard that called blasphemy by any Christian scholar back into the earliest centuries. That's a disagreement over a technical term of the procession of the...
No, it's not year. A disagreement over a technical term. It's a disagreement over the description of the internal life of God.
Let me ask you this question. Hold on, caller, for a minute. If, in fact, the Eastern Orthodox Church is blasphemous, as you've referred to it, how then is it all right, or is it, how then is it, what are the words I'm looking for here? How is it that, hold on, how is it permitted by the Catholic Church that I can fulfill my Sunday Mass obligation by going to an Eastern Rite church?
Because we're not Donatists. Donatists were a people who followed a heresy in the early part of the history of the church, which said the effectiveness of the sacrament is dependent on the status and the morality of the minister.
And with that point, we'll turn over to side two, where this discussion will continue. So we suggest you fast forward. Thank you. This is side two of tape one of Vin Lewis's appearance on the Pat Campbell Show of Thanksgiving 1995.
How is it permitted by the Catholic Church that I can fulfill my Sunday Mass obligation by going to an Eastern Rite church?
Because we're not Donatists. Donatists were a people who followed a heresy in the early part of the history of the church, which said the effectiveness of the sacrament is dependent on the status and the morality of the minister. So in other words, what they were saying is, if the minister isn't right, if he isn't completely righteous, then if he absolves you of your sins, that absolution is not valid. In fact, since it is God who uses people as instrumentalities to bring his grace, the instrumentality is not a factor on the effectiveness of God getting across to us. In other words, if I wrote on a piece of paper a message to you, or if I printed it, or I engraved it, the message would still get across regardless of the medium.
Mm-hmm.
God uses mediums for the medium's advantage, not for God's advantage.
Call it something else? Go ahead.
Just finish my point.
Yeah.
Okay, you're saying
so therefore, if the man was properly ordained by a proper apostolic line bishop, then he is a priest, and under means of necessity only. You may attend the Greek Orthodox or any one of those other Eastern churches not in union with Rome to
mm-hmm.
fulfill your Sunday obligation. But Pat, I believe the gentleman had a second question.
Yes.
The more traditional, the super traditional Roman Catholic, the ones that insist on the Latin Mass.
Okay, I'm going on the basis of a judgment that was handed down by one of those congregations in Rome. That's an institute of the Vatican whose job it is to hand down these decisions. And they said that the Lefebvreites, those type of people, are not, I repeat, not in schism. And anybody may attend any one of their services and fulfill their obligations, even not under circumstances of necessity. What they have is disagreements over the nature and status of John Paul II, not the papacy, but of the individual man. Now, my own personal opinion is this. They're wrong, but I put it this way. I've never seen a good argument on their side, but I haven't really paid attention to their arguments. All right. Now, I also say this. Most of my contact with most of the Lefebvreites has led me to believe that these people are extremely arid, they're extremely dry, they have no spirituality and no charity. They've become so legalistic that they have all the worst characteristics of the rigid, puritanical-type religious person with no love, no charity, no care, no evangelism, nothing, just a complete, almost incestuous turning in themselves, an endless patting each other on the back about how wonderful they are, how fantastic they are, how righteous they are. I think that if you judge a fruit by its tree, and I'm not saying this is the only way to do it, but if you judge it, that this group has led to an awful lot of horrible, unjustified self-righteousness.
Well, what you mentioned about the particular Vatican congregation, whatever you were referring to there, contradicts what the U.S. bishops are saying. The U.S. bishops, from what I've been able to gather, from what I've been able to read, believe that they are schismatic, and as a result, or I shouldn't say necessarily as a result, but Catholic bishops have been offering the traditional Tridentine Mass, the Latin Mass, in many dioceses, including our own right here in Erie, Pennsylvania. So I don't understand why anyone would go to that particular church when they had the option of attending a Tridentine Mass right within their own diocese.
Let me try to play director here for a minute. Did I answer the question for the caller?
Sure.
Okay, fine. Now let me answer the question for Pat. The point what you've said is you must understand something. There is no organization of American bishops which has any official status within the church whatsoever. The National Council of Catholic Bishops is a legally instituted corporation which has no status, no authority, no power, no tradition, nothing at all within the Catholic Church. It is simply an administrative body which can say whatever it wants.
but it has no authority to teach, no authority to pronounce, no authority to bind Catholics in any way whatsoever. This is a complete misconception. This is like the Republican caucus of freshmen. They get these guys who got elected into the House of Representatives, get together, they form their own club. Okay, that's fine for them. They can even put out press releases. But you know, they have absolutely no power to pass a law unless they're sitting in Congress registering a separate vote. They can try to influence things, and of course they do. The same thing with the Black Caucus, the same thing with the Jewish Caucus, the same thing with the Greek Caucus. All of these groups of representatives try to influence things. It gives them a meeting, they get together, they have a few beers, they maybe chase a few waitresses, etc. The point is, though, they have no status whatsoever when it comes to...
You're referring to the congressional caucuses, not the bishops, right?
I don't know which one I was referring to there. I think I got confused. Okay?
Vin,
I don't see too much of a difference, quite frankly.
Vin, we're going to pause on that note. I need to get a commercial break in. We'll be back with your calls, and the orders are received at 835-1330 for Vin Lewis. Home for the holidays. Back after this.
Talk radio that makes a difference. Flagship 1330. 336 degrees at Flagship 1330. Rock and roll without the record. The right way with Pat Campbell.
And just in time for Thanksgiving, Vin Lewis. Vin, welcome back. Let's go right back to the phones here. We had some other callers online. Good afternoon. You're on Flagship 1330. Hello.
Hello.
Go ahead. You're on the air with Vin.
Yes, I just wanted to say I was very offended when he said that the Catholic Church was Christ on earth.
No, actually, that was something I said, that I had spoken to a Catholic priest who was a professor at a local college, and he said that the Church is Christ here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
That was not Vin Lewis that said that. Although Vin may want to defend that statement.
Okay. Well, I have another thought also I'd like to bring up. When the Pope was here, he was very adamant about abortion. He doesn't think that people should have abortions, right?
Right.
Well, that is true. The Bible says that that is taking a life. But if the Catholic Church is so adamant about saving life, why are they behind all these wars that are fought?
Which wars are the Catholic, or is the Catholic Church behind?
They fight in every war that there is. When the Jews were all being killed, why didn't the Pope step in and do something about Hitler? He was a Catholic.
What would you have liked the Pope to have done?
He could have come out against that and talked against it. They could have defended the Bible, which says that you shouldn't kill these same babies that people are saving by not having abortions when they grow up to be young men, 17, 18 years old. They're drafted into the army, and they go out and kill their fellow Catholics in other countries.
All right, let Vin respond here. Vin, go ahead.
Certainly can happen. Let me see if I understand you correctly. Are you saying there is never an excuse whatsoever under any circumstances for one human being to take the life of
Absolutely.
Another?
Absolutely.
Okay, well then, are you a Bible Christian?
Yes, I am.
Do you realize that the Bible in the Old Testament commands the taking of life?
Those were Bible...
No, answer the question yes or no, please.
Those were wars.
Answer the question yes or no, please.
Why do you have to answer...
Well, the reason you should answer yes or no is because if you're a Bible Christian, you know that our Lord says that let your yes be yes, your no be no, and anything else is from Satan. So
and
we don't mind you. I don't mind you.
Sword,
excuse me. Be quiet for a moment. You asked me a question. Allow me to finish. Since you would not answer my question, I will now teach you. If you're a Bible Christian, which
excuse
of course...
Me, I'm going to hang up.
Go ahead.
And there it is, the hang
All right,
up.
Let me follow up as if someone intelligent and courteous did call. The point is that if one bothers to read the Ten Commandments, and quite frankly, there's no word in the Bible that says these ten and no others, one continues reading of the, I think it's 613 commandments, you will find numerous instances of mandated capital punishment. The Bible not only says thou shalt not kill, the actual translation is thou shalt not murder, but it specifically says thou shalt kill. Among others, homosexuals and disrespectful sons and witches and mediums. Now, when Jesus was confronted with the centurion...
Which book was that in, by the way?
I beg your pardon?
Which
Exodus,
book was that?
Exodus and whichever the other one with the Ten Commandments is, I get it confused.
You wouldn't have a chapter and a verse, would you?
No, but if you just look up the Ten Commandments and keep reading on the same page, unless you got a really small Bible, you'll find exactly those commandments.
All right.
Okay? Anybody can do this. Now, the point also is this. Remember, when the soldiers came to St. John the Baptist and said to St. John the Baptist, was described as Jesus as the greatest man ever born of woman. When they said to St. John the Baptist, what should we do? St. John didn't say, throw down your swords. He didn't say, give up on all this stuff. He said, be satisfied with your pay, don't give false witness, and don't abuse civilians. But he didn't tell these people to give up. When Jesus dealt with the centurion, who was a military official, he cured the man's servant and commented on his faith without ever commenting on an evil nature of his position. Absolutely not. St. Peter, St. Paul, and the epistles talk about the authority of the state as the sword to execute as instrumentalities of God.
Vin, we've got to pause on that note because I do have to go to the ABC News here at the top of the hour. I'll allow you to finish your point after the news, and we'll take more calls at 835-1330 for Vin Lewis after the news.
All the great talk radio you need is right here on Flagship 1330, WFLP, Erie.
1330 News when you need it. The Right Way with Pat Campbell.
Welcome back, folks. Hour number two of this, a fabulous Thanksgiving Day edition of The Right Way. Featuring the sights, the sounds of Vin Lewis. Home for the holidays. Start a family tradition right here on The Right Way. Phone number to get you involved, 835-1330. Cellular one user, *1330. That call's free, by the way. The fax is coming at 835-8395. And Vin, before we go back to the phones here, a couple of things. First of all, I'd like to ask you if I could be so bold. When we're engaging people in conversation here, if you could possibly refrain from limiting callers to yes or no answers, what have they referred to that as in the past? It's a very abrasive manner when you're on the air, and also highly manipulative, too. But if we could have some type of a little bit more open conversation here, because I really want to try to use this program, and especially your appearance today, to sort of reach out to the community and perhaps let people grow in their understanding of the Catholic Church rather than just turn people off to it. So with that said, getting back to the last caller who was rude and hung up on you, she said a couple of things I want you to respond to. Number one, she was offended by the remark I made earlier in the program, a quote from a local Catholic priest who said, the Catholic Church is Christ here on earth. Now, why would somebody find that offensive?
Because they were not a Catholic, and therefore, essentially, as I said before, then they would be being excluded from being a Christian. Well, they would always find it offensive when someone points out their defects.
Second point, she talked about the Pope and that the Catholic Church should have spoke up and stopped Adolf Hitler. Now, I'm not aware of any army that the Vatican has other than, what is it, the Swiss Guard?
Yeah.
And I don't think they would have been a formidable foe for the Nazis. We hear this quite often on talk radio, that the Catholic Church somehow is culpable because they didn't stand up to Hitler. Your response?
Well, the argument usually goes something like this. Regardless of what any individual Catholic did, the Pope, as Pope Pius XII, who was Pope at the time, did not make formal, repeated, and loud denunciations against Adolf Hitler. Now, one can get into tremendous historical arguments on this, and I'll quote my encyclopedia article and you quote your scholarly monograph, but it can be presented in a very, very simple fashion. If the criteria is as follows, it is better to have less dead Jews than more dead Jews. In other words, it's better to have living bodies than dead bodies. Then the Pope did a marvelous thing the Jewish people, and all I'm doing is limiting to the Jewish people. By no means is that the only ones that Hitler had it in for. But the point was this. Historical fact, nobody denies. A significant number of Jews were saved
because religious institutions, Catholic religious institutions, monasteries, convents, churches, etc., acted as underground railroads to hide these people and to spirit them out of places where they were in danger. That's a fact. Nobody denies it.
Yeah, now, but they never bring that up.
No, that's not the point. Let me get my point all the way across. My point is this. If those institutions were physically closed, then these Jews would have not been able to escape by going through the institutional church. Therefore, if the Pope had made these massive denunciation statements, and if Hitler had closed down these monasteries and religious institutions, the Jews would have knocked on the door, been picked up by the Gestapo, and killed. So if the standard is better less dead innocent people than more dead innocent people, then one must praise to the highest degree possible the activities of Pius XII by never antagonizing Hitler so much that he would close down the religious institutions as Napoleon did. The Pope of that time completely opposed Napoleon, and Napoleon closed down numerous Catholic religious institutions, threw the people out, killed a lot of the nuns. This seems to be totally ignored in history. So the lessons of history, if we can learn from them, are that military dictators, when pushed too far, react against non-military organizations by squashing them.
They also seem to overlook the fact that there were a number of Catholic martyrs. Maximilian Kolbe comes to mind.
But you see, the point is, Pat, although that's perfectly correct, you're not dealing with the key basic argument. The key basic argument has to be this. More living bodies, more dead bodies. What do you want? If you wanted the Pope to make some principled statement and have another million dead Jews, then you didn't get your way. But then you're only an anti-Semite who's also an anti-Catholic, and most of these people really are both. Personally, I prefer to see living innocent people than dead innocent people, and any moral means which can be used to prevent the extinction of a human life is not only justified, but absolutely praised. The Pope deserves to be praised for following a diplomatic tightrope which kept many people alive who otherwise would have been exterminated, guaranteed. So therefore, not only did the church do a lot, it did more than any other single institution, and there are people, maybe not alive today, but people whose children are alive today because of these activities of that Pope. God bless him, God praise him, and these weren't Catholic lives he was saving, they were Jewish lives he was saving.
Vin, let's go to the phones here at 835-1330. Good afternoon, you're on Flagship.
How you
doing? Doing well. Thanks for hanging on.
Very good subject here. But Mussolini had a lot to do with the Vatican at that time. They surrounded the Vatican, and one message got in, very few messages got out, and that's what happened. It wasn't Hitler. It was Mussolini. Do you recall now?
Certainly, the Pope previously to that time was known as the prisoner of the Vatican, and they had horrible relationships.
Nobody could get in, and nobody could.
Well, it wasn't no one, but there certainly was a severe restriction placed on the functioning of the church by that bum Mussolini, who was also one of the more horrible men of the 20th century.
This is why they denounced Hitler. He denounced Hitler, but the messages weren't getting out anymore.
No, I understand what you're saying, but you see, the anti-Catholics would not have been satisfied until the Pope walked outside and was beaten to death by Mussolini's thugs, you know, in the middle of St. Peter's Square.
But it had nothing to do with the Vatican at that time.
No, I understand what you're saying. I'm trying to point out that these people would be satisfied by absolutely nothing. They are simply anti-Catholic bigots who simply use any excuse to attack the church, and that's why I tried to refute it with completely undeniable facts. I'm not denying your facts at all, but you know what they would say? They would say that was just a conspiracy set up by Mussolini and the other guys. They did that intentionally. The church was really running Mussolini. You can't talk to those people. They're lunatics. They're conspiracy lunatics.
The thing is, they did build false passages, you know, to hide the artifacts that the Catholic Church had at the time. They bricked it all in.
Caller, I don't want to really get tied up in a historical. Do you have a question for Vin?
Back to that lady's thing. You said, is this the Bible or the Ten Commandments that we should kill?
What I'm saying is the words Ten Commandments are a convention. There is no place in the Bible you're going to find the word Ten Commandments. What I'm saying is when Moses went up to Mount Sinai, he didn't come down with 10. He came down with, I think it's 613. I forget the actual number, okay? 613 commandments. For some reason, some convention, we tend to take the first 10 and set them aside. But if you say that was...
I know, it, but see, I don't want to get too far.
Right.
I want to get to just to that point when you said that. Now, you said that's a commandment.
Yes.
Right? To kill.
Absolutely.
Okay. Have you ever killed any gay people?
No.
Well, you're not being a commandment.
Of course not. But the point was this, if you notice what I did.
You're preaching it, but you're not...
No, I didn't preach it at all. No. Listen to me carefully. I never preached it. I asked the lady if she was a Bible-believing Christian, quote-unquote. Then I asked her if she believed, if she had to follow, in essence, what the Bible says, and then she got evasive and got off the phone. I'm not a Bible-believing Christian. I'm a Christ-believing Christian. The Bible is one means by which I get to the truth of God properly understood. The Bible is a means. No one takes it literally. Anybody who does is simply wrong and lying. I don't take it literally. So therefore, I do not follow the commandments in the Bible unless or until my church says follow the commandments of the Bible. Because the Bible itself is not the word, is not God, but it was a word of God, some of which still applies, some of which does not. I was simply trying to point out an inconsistency in a lady. If she says, I take all of the commandments of God seriously, she's a liar. If she says she takes the first 10 seriously and not the others, then I would say, why? And then she'll say, I'll pick and choose, which is what I do. Then I'll ask her authority, and then she'll be stuck, because my authority is the teaching authority of the Catholic Church. Her authority is her own whimsy, will, and sinful desires. And that was my point, which I couldn't get across.
Caller, thanks for the call. Let's move along here. Good afternoon. You're on Flagship 1330 with Vin Lewis.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
How are you?
Well, he's talking to you, Pat.
Well, yes, I would guess that Vin quite properly is not a gentleman. I see no point in pursuing my question, as the last comments of Mr. Lewis would negate any kind of a cogent answer. He'd be able to wiggle his way out of the question that I have for him.
I wiggle out of nothing. I deal with everything directly. It's an unfair charge. Ask me and I'll prove it to you. I wiggle out of nothing. I'm congenitally incapable of it. I can't have an abortion, and I can't evade questions. I don't know how to do either one.
Okay, well, I happen to be a Sabbatarian. I believe that the seventh day is the holy day of God.
Okay.
I'd just like to ask, Vin, where in the Bible God admitted his mistake and changed the worship day from the seventh day to the first day of the week.
You're missing that page in your Bible, too, huh?
There is no such passage as you are describing.
Right. Well, that's one of my points, but I would guess that you would come back with the argument that this was done later in Catholic history.
No. It was done in apostolic times.
Can you tell me exactly when that?
No, I can't. It wasn't there.
Well, it happened, most scholars believe, at the Council of Laodicea, like 330 A.D.
Fine. I don't trust scholars. I put my faith in God, not in man. Maybe you put your faith in man. That's fine. On religious matters, I put my faith in God. Excuse me. You said most scholars. Therefore, there's a disagreement over it, right? What is not universal is not a fact. That's a fact. There's no scholar who says George Washington was not the first elected president of the United States. There's an awful lot of people who disagree over whether Rutherford B. Hayes' election was legitimate or not. So therefore, and there's an awful lot of people who disagree over whether the Vietnam War could have been won or not. So therefore, there's a difference between facts. The moment you say most scholars, you are dealing with opinion. When you deal with opinion, fine, deal with opinion. But when it comes to religion, I deal with dogma, not opinion, unless I want to express opinion.
Sir, using your own logic,
yes.
Then you could wiggle your way.
I'm not wiggling.
Use those terms. They're my terms, not yours.
Sure, you use them.
That you could weave your way out of in and out of anything.
No.
You could fabricate any kind of logic and
justify
any action that you wish to
advocate. Your charges are completely and utterly wrong, but that's expected. Go ahead. Pat told me not to be harsh. I'll simply deny it. You don't know what you... excuse me. Shall I say you're factually incorrect on your charges against me? I wiggle out of nothing ever.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, sir, I'm going to respectfully hang up because
okay.
I see no...
Have a good day.
In continuing.
Have a happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for calling us. Vin, I got to get a few commercials
sure.
in. We'll be back with more of our insightful, riveting discussion with Vin Lewis, home for the holidays. Start a family tradition. What the heck, right here at Flagship 1330. News.
Good afternoon, I'm Paul Manning with the Flagship 1330 weather update. Today, right on through tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a chance of snow. Daily highs in the 30s and overnight lows in the mid-20s. Right now at Erie, 36 degrees at Flagship 1330. If you want to walk the walk, you've got to talk the talk. More walking and talking with Pat Campbell.
Welcome back to our Thanksgiving Day visits with and from Vin Lewis via phone from somewhere in upper state New York. Before we go back to the phones here and take more of your calls at 835-1330, the last caller brought up a topic that I sort of wanted you to address today. When I was growing up, is a young Catholic. As you know, one of the six precepts of the Catholic Church is that you must attend Mass each and every Sunday and on holy days of obligation, unless, of course, there is a grave reason for you not to attend. For example, you're deathly ill or there isn't a Catholic Church within, you know, 200, 300 miles of me and I have no way of getting there. In fact, when I was growing up, I was taught that it was such a serious offense that it was considered a mortal sin. In other words, if I were to die with that sin on my soul without going to confession, getting the sin forgiven, etc., and doing the proper penance, that I could be in danger of going to hell. Nowadays, I'd be hard-pressed to find a Catholic priest, to be honest with you, anywhere around here that would tell me missing Mass on Sunday is a mortal sin. What's happened in the Church, and when did Christ command us to attend Mass weekly and on Sundays?
Okay, in the Ten Commandments, which is the conventional language again, is that thou shalt keep holy the Lord's Day.
Right.
Now, definitely, without a doubt...
There's many ways to keep the Lord's Day holy.
No, I understand that. Definitely, without a doubt, the Lord's Day in the old days, when the Mosaic Law was in effect, was Saturday, the Sabbath, the seventh
right.
day. However, things changed. We no longer have blood sacrifices at the temple. We no longer have circumcision for religious reasons. We no longer have all those dietary restriction laws. We no longer have quite a few things. The things changed because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and a new way, a new dispensation was put into effect. And one of the changes, of course, was the change from the seventh day to the first, from Saturday to a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the general concept, but there's a very interesting passage in the Gospel of St. Luke, which is around chapter 12, which says something to the effect of this: he who hears you, hears me. He who rejects you, rejects me. And he who rejects you, rejects him who sent me. This is a clear reference to the teaching authority of the Church. What God says through the Church is as authoritative, as binding, as obligatory on us, as if it were written in stone on Mount Sinai or anywhere else, or any other place or method by which God uses to get words to us. The point about the fellow before, which I'm sure he was driving at, was that there is no passage which says, oh yeah, now it's not seventh day, now it's the first.
Mm-hmm.
Utterly correct.
Mm-hmm.
But that's exactly the point. The Bible alone, number one, is followed by nobody. Nobody is a Bible-only Christian. Nobody. Never existed, so I don't know why you even give these people the quote, title. But secondly, the Bible is only one means by which God conveys information to us.
Is the Bible necessary for salvation?
No, of course not. Or should I elaborate?
No. Just continue with what you were... I just threw that
okay.
in there.
Well, the other point you asked was, what's happening to the priest these days? What's happening to the priest these days is they're becoming morally corrupt. But any Catholic would tell you that.
the quality of the priesthood right now is horrible. Now, that does not mean to say that it was ever really any better. I'm not one of these people who believes that everything was wonderful before 1954 and everything stinks now. I think everything is terrible now, but that doesn't mean to say it was wonderful then. I don't know how it was then. But most of the people who call them, most of, I won't give them the title men, most of the humans who call themselves Catholic priests are in fact not Catholic. They may be priests, I really doubt the ordination of most of them, but they aren't Catholic in any way whatsoever. They're no more Catholic than the Dalai Lama or Bill Clinton. They don't believe what the church teaches. They don't try to live as a Catholic lives. They don't have Catholic traditions or customs or lifestyles or values.
Now, come on, Ben, no picking on the Dalai Lama on my program.
Okay, Bill Clinton, Bill and Hillary Clinton.
What about the church teaching on mass attendance? Has it changed?
No, of course not. Absolutely. Can't ever change. It's a command from God. How can it change?
Is it sinful or is it morally sinful?
Both.
Okay. Fair enough. Let's go back to the phones here, 835-1330. Good afternoon.
And if you want to know what's on that next telephone call, I'm afraid you'll have to listen to the next tape. That's the end of this one. You know how to get in touch with us? Vin Lewis here saying thank you for listening. Hope you've appreciated the tape. Hope you've enjoyed it, learned from it, etc. Good luck. God bless.